We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome, and thank you all for coming today. It's good to see everyone on this nice sunny day, and appreciate you coming and standing. In... Yeah, I don't know that we have speakers, so I'm just going to speak up, all right? So you'll just have to hush down and pay attention, I guess. But thank you for coming and being here on behalf of Freedom. We will try to speak up so that you can hear us, but... Really, the message this morning is really that church is essential and that we stand for religious freedom. I'd like to introduce Pastor Young here. He is from Heritage Baptist Church in Palmyra, and he is also the leader for New York Baptist for Biblical Values, and so we'll hear from him first.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that, and I appreciate his being willing to host this press conference. I appreciate all the pastors that have come from around the state, literally Albany, east of Binghamton, and all points from there moving this way. Thank you. It's a great testimony. We certainly have something we need to say and hear, and hopefully the ears that hear it will understand our heart and our burden concerning this situation. First thing I'd like to make mention of, that when we heard of this pandemic that was going to hit our country, you're looking at the men that pastor churches that are more concerned about their constituents than anybody else. And so we did what we believe was the right thing to do, and that was to cancel our services, our in-house services, because we certainly wanted to protect those loved ones and families and so forth. That is not unusual. You happen to be around the Buffalo area. There may have been an occasion on a Sunday in the winter where you canceled services because of the snowstorms. We have as well. If a tornado was headed towards our church on a given morning or whatever, I would tell the people to stay home for safety's sake. And so we did what we believe was right to do, not because we were ordered to do it, because we felt it was right to do, because we didn't know. But since that time, we have found out that there are so many variables here, models that don't seem to add up, that people have used to make criteria concerning. The experts have said, and the experts have said, and the experts have said. I'm reminded of that definition of an expert. Yeah. X is an unknown quantity, and a spurt is a drip under pressure. So sometimes an expert is an unknown drip under pressure. And I'm not a doctor. I have not any background in that, but I know I can read and listen, and no one's more concerned about the well-being of my family, our church family. I've been there and started the church 40 years ago this last February. So we're certainly in love with those people there. But when I see what has taken place with the government concerning our worship of our God, I'm reminded of the story of Pharaoh and the Old Testament. When God sent Moses down there and said, "Let my people go that they may serve me," Pharaoh looked with contention towards those people, the Jews, and he had no respect for their God. And so he tried to get them to compromise what they held to be true. They said, "Well, listen, why don't you worship your God here in the land?" Moses said, "No, God wants us to go 3 days' journey and worship him." "Okay. Why don't you, just the men, go and leave the kids here?" They said, "No, if we go, we're going to go with lock, stock, and barrel and the kids and everything." Well, why don't you leave your livestock here, your money here? And so he's trying to get them to compromise on what they held to be true. Now, if we were to give a contemporary interpretation of that story, it would be, why don't you just have social media? Why don't you just live stream your services? God called us together to worship him, and that's what church really is and what it really means. When church didn't show up, or when the church didn't show up as an essential, that started us on a journey of trying to determine what was exactly behind all this. Why the church was not an essential. Liquor stores are an essential. Tattoo shops are an essential. Abortion clinics are an essential. Big box stores are essential. Ice cream stores are essential, but not churches. It's funny, if we had church in the produce aisle at Walmart, we'd be safe. But we cannot have it in our own buildings under the auspices of our own enterprise as far as the local New Testament church and be safe. It's amazing. Now, I'm not against Walmart. In fact, I told my wife, I said, when I die, bury me in the Walmart parking lot. I said, because then you'll come visit me on a regular basis. So I'm not against buying things at Walmart, but I would say I'm safer there apparently than I am with my own family in church. You see, our churches are taken basically out of place. Everything. In fact, when you have a store, they say, well, it's a takeout store. It's a takeout store. You're going to get it and you take it out. Everything we have in our church is takeout. We want the people to take it out with them and assimilate it into their lives. Or you got to be kidding. They need us, there's no doubt. You see, what you did is you tipped your hand. You tipped your hand when you said, we stopped this virus. God didn't stop this virus. And then by seeing that we are not essential, in fact, we didn't even show up initially until there was some clamoring concerning it, and then somewhere we were put along with entertainment and so forth. But you can have live stream. That is not what church means. That's not what church is. We have today well over 70 pastors that are here, perhaps more, that are here to demonstrate that the fact is church is essential. It's essential. Jordan, that's true. George Washington said in his farewell address, which for 170 years in our country was revered alongside of Abraham Lincoln's address at Gettysburg, but now you won't find it in the textbooks, you won't find it in the school systems, because there's some things he said in there that they wouldn't necessarily agree with. He said these words in that farewell address. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim to tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness. So in other words, we want to claim patriotism because we are religious. By the way, if you want to know the religion of George Washington, read the prayers that have been recorded. When he prayed, I remember one time they asked me to pray at the New York State Senate. I said, before I do, can I pray in Jesus' name? And the lady said, let me see. I never had anybody ask me that question. I said, well, I'm not going to pray in you know whose name at the end of my prayer. George Washington prayed, obviously, to the Father of Lights and certainly to our Heavenly Father. And he said that. The First Amendment, of course, is Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, when you think of it, when they tell us that we can live stream and that's sufficient, they're telling us how to worship our God. And that's establishing a religion on how you'll worship your God. I'm smelling the sewer of Egypt. Telling us how to worship our God. John Leland was a Baptist preacher in Orange County, Virginia. You'll not read this in the history books because it seemingly has no place in our history books. But John Leland was a Baptist preacher. And in Orange County, there was more Baptists than anything else, and he felt that he should go to the ratification of the Constitution of the United States in the state of Virginia. because he wanted to have an amendment whereby you could worship God to the dictates of your own heart, because in Virginia, if you didn't belong to the state church, you were considered the offscouring. You were not considered a church by the state of Virginia. James Madison, who was out of the same county, came to John Leland, and they discussed the matter, and he promised John Leland, and of course, James Madison, of course, the writer of the Constitution, he said, I promise you that I will make sure that we have an amendment concerning religious freedoms, and the First Amendment to the Constitution has to deal with the religious freedoms. Now, the second, I believe, protects the first. Now, if you news people, for example, every time you were to do a story, or anybody writing anything today were to do a story, before you could enter that, you had to tell your the color of your natural hair, your height, your weight, your location, as far as where your place of domicile is, before you could do that, you'd say, there is no way we have freedom of the press. We have a Second Amendment as well. But you can't possess any of the things that we possess without going through all that gymnastics. And what they're doing, they're moving down into the First Amendment. Let me say this. We will be back in our churches as we feel it is necessary to be obedient to our God. We did not close our doors because somebody said you can't. We did it for our loved ones and those people we cherish and love. And we will open them. We will open them as each individual church and pastor deems it right and necessary to be obedient to God. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Young. And at this time, I'll ask David DiPietro. He's New York State Assemblyman with the 147th District. And so that is Wyoming County, Southern Erie County. And so I'm glad to have him here today. He has been a champion for religious liberty. So we're very glad to have him here today.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor Lou. Good afternoon, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, even though I've met so many of you, I'm Dave DiPietro, I'm the Assemblyman. And first of all, I want to thank you for standing with me here today. I'm sure all of you know, we are here for an incredibly vital and straightforward purpose. And that's just to reopen our centers of worship. Whatever... Whatever your creed, it does not matter. Our communities, our traditions, and our religions are central to our way of life. From the time this quarantine was first implemented, we've dutifully tried to abide by what's been asked of us, have we not? We've foregone mass and services in our church auditoriums. We've stopped congregating to read and study the Bible and our holy books. And we've socially distanced ourselves from our respective congregations. We've done it. But now, after months of, quote, flattening the curve and doing everything asked of us to stand together as a united front against the virus, the goalposts have been moved. Have they not? What was flattening the curve? Flattening the curve, if you remember, from day one, from our governor and from others, was not to overwhelm the healthcare system. 7 to 10 days. 7 to 10 days, then we can open up. I post every day on Facebook. Today is day 42 straight of flattening the curve. Why are we closed? As the numbers continue to decrease far past the initial 15-day quarantine period, and with the majority of counties reporting no or minimal increases, I want to repeat that, a majority of counties reporting no increases, we're being forced by our officials to continue to stay at home, forced to continue to keep our church doors closed, to continue to cower in fear, just because they say so, to continue to, and the list goes on and on and on. Now that we have accurate and proven data on this virus and its effects, we can and should adjust our response accordingly. Doesn't that make sense? We have suffered too long and lost too much because of the illogical and unfairly applied extreme response measures taken by our governor. Houses of worship are central to the physical and mental well-being of the people of New York, and we have done our duty. We went without for the short-term period while the effects and reach of the virus were unknown. We understood that. Our elderly and our vulnerable needed us, and we answered the call. But now we have the data. Now we can protect them and others and provide safe, sanitized services while adhering to social distancing guidelines. It's time to get back to what matters most, opening our houses of worship, which are and always have been essential. Wherever you meet to pray and worship with your fellow man, whether it be in churches, synagogues, cathedrals, study groups, community centers, whatever your way of prayer, your creed, your worship, whatever you do to practice your faith, it's time to get back to our way of life, to prayer, to free worship of our God. I hate to say that the decision to worship as an assembled congregation has become a political issue, but it has. This places us in an improper and shameful position. This is an assault on our First Amendment rights, the very First Amendment. Let it be understood by all that we are not breaking the law to hold church services in our state. Can we say that again? We are not breaking the law to hold church services. Other businesses and other organizations are freely open. And I say it all the time. The bike store, the little bike store in your community, the little olive oil store, whatever, where they have, on a rainy day, you might get two or three people. They know how to social distance. We're adults. We can do that. But yet they're deemed a health hazard to society, and they can be fined and imprisoned. Yet you can go into Walmart, which I have, and Lowe's, and Home Depot, and Target, and Wegmans, and Tops, and I was in Tops, and there were 15 people in one aisle. It doesn't make any sense, folks. Common sense has gone out the door. But I think our government, for a while now, has lost its common sense. Thankfully, the curve has been flattened, but sadly, this stay-at-home order and the social quarantine has gone farther than it should have been allowed. The governor of New York State does not supersede God's will. The governor of New York State does not supersede the Constitution of the United States. And the governor of New York State does not tell us how to worship. Right. We've done our due diligence, and now we need to exercise our freedoms in a safe and smart manner. Safeguarding of our people, and especially our vulnerable, has been prioritized. Good sense has been used by every church and every pastor and every rabbi and every priest I've ever talked to. We need to band together in our churches and holy places, in our halls, behind our pulpits, and our lecterns. Let's raise our voices in thanks for what has been accomplished and in continued prayer for those who are suffering. I am so deeply humbled and encouraged by the outpouring of faith that I have seen in this dark time. We've given up enough time of praise and worship of the Almighty to this virus already. The numbers are in, And it's time to open the doors to what, in even more desperate times than these, were called sanctuaries. If you remember, which really floors me, since the day this country was born and the first people landed here, every time there was any crisis, any problem that faced this country, we got down on our knees and we asked God for forgiveness and prayer. And for the first time in my 60 years, I'm watching the government tell us that we can't do it, and it's wrong. It's time to open our houses of worship. And I'll leave this to you. If not you, who? If not now, when? It's time to tell our governor enough is enough. We deserve our First Amendment rights to freedom of religion. Open up our churches. God bless America. God bless all of you. Thank you.
I like a fiery politician, and that's a blessing. I'm Pastor Lou Guadagno, by the way. I'm the pastor here of Old Time Baptist Church, and again, it moves me deeply to see you all here today, and especially the pastors. Wow, over 70 pastors. I mean, that represents a lot of people, and I'm very grateful that you're here today. I know that you're very passionate about this subject, as am I. And so today we stand here in our home state of New York on behalf of religious liberty. Our message to our elected officials is straightforward. Churches are essential. Our First Amendment states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Today we exercise our right to peaceably assemble. Your right to protest is protected by our First Amendment. Today the press is here, and the freedom of the press is guaranteed by the same First Amendment, the same amendment that gives every American the right to have church. And as Christians, we're compelled to exercise that right because the Bible instructs us to do so. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In our nation, this is truly an unprecedented time. COVID-19 has impacted the lives of many families, and for that, those that have suffered, I'm telling you, our hearts break, and we send our deepest condolences for those that are suffering and our deepest sympathies. Many New Yorkers have suffered physically from the virus, yet at the same time, many others have suffered deep emotional, psychological strain due to these restrictions. Our governor has called on mental health professionals to help with this overwhelming problem, and it's a real problem. In recent weeks, I've witnessed alcoholism, drug abuse, and addictions of every kind rising to staggering levels. As I interact with our law enforcement officers, they tell me that domestic violence, suicides, and even murder are at all times highs because of all of what's going on in our community due to these restrictions. The path to peace will never be shuttering the churches while the liquor stores remain open. Sadly, in our state, churches have been phased last. Churches have not been given the priority they deserve. Religious freedom should be the most protected right. Religious freedom is why the pilgrims came to this great land. Church is more important than going to get ice cream or making automobiles or even the beaches being opened. Church is not some form of entertainment like the Buffalo Bills. Though I love the Buffalo Bills, and I'm hoping that we can watch them. Church is more important than that. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to save the souls of men, and gathering with the saints brings peace. How we need during this time, how we need peace during this time. As our church gathered this week at 50% capacity, following the CDC guidelines, our parishioners were helped with joy and peace. a text message, and I received many text messages from our church, read this: good service, it was needed. I felt incredibly at peace. That, my friends, is essential. There'll be difficult times ahead, as there always is. God and our religious liberty will see us through. But simply put, we need church. Churches are essential, and today we stand for religious liberty for all denominations. We love our people and we love our community. When our town supervisor sought a place to have a food bank, Old Time Baptist Church rose to the challenge. The food bank that operates in our facility has been operated safe and effective. Our church is very safety conscious. Yet we cannot ignore that people have more than just physical needs. They have spiritual needs as well. The founders of our nation knew this. They bled and died to give us the freedom to meet these spiritual needs. Our rights come from God, and in America they are upheld by our Constitution, and down through the years they've been protected by our great military and at great cost. Last night I was talking to, I heard on the national prayer call, Gary Bykirk. He's a personal friend, and he's been at our church many times. He's the chaplain of the Medal of Honor Society and is, of course, a Medal of Honor recipient himself. But speaking of religious liberty, he said, "We are walking in the footsteps of what they gave us." And when he's talking about God and church, this veteran said, "It restored meaning in my life." But Gary Bykirk came back from the Vietnam War, and he had physical wounds, and he had mental heartbreaks. And I'm telling you, God and the church is what restored it. It was great to hear that patriot talk about his love for country and love of church. And as a preacher and a patriot myself, I feel, how can I sit idly by while across this state my brothers and sisters in Christ have been fined and harassed and intimidated? For what? Praying together, holding a service with a handful of people. They've been intimidated. It's wrong. It's discriminatory. And it's unconstitutional. We'll not stand for it. Like many during COVID-19, we've gone to great lengths to protect our people. We've had many online services. We've offered drive-in services, and we'll continue the online services for those that need them. Our church, they've met in the parking lot, and they've done all of that, but all of that will not serve to meet the rising demand in our community. I speak for preachers all across this land. We want to open our churches safely. We don't want our facility to be unsafe. And we want to protect the most vulnerable among us. In fact, our safety standards, I think, are above CDC guidelines, and we're very proud of that. Here in this facility, we have over 22,000 square feet. 22,000 square feet. We can social distance. We do this not because we're made to. We do this because we love our people and because we love our community. As a church, we pray for our government and we pray for our governor. No doubt Governor Cuomo's job has been difficult during this pandemic. I thank God for technology, and I thank God for every online service we've had. But online church is not an assembly. As Bible-believing Christians, we are to assemble. As Memorial Day is still so fresh in our thoughts, let us stand for liberty. Our brave soldiers have given life and limb to protect our rights to have a free nation, one that supports religious liberty. Have we not the right in America to peaceably gather to pray and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, how Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we might have eternal life? This is my right. It is the right of all Americans. And it's upheld by our Constitution, which is the highest law in our land. And that great Constitution has been supported, I thank God, by the President of the United States. Last time I checked, that's got some pull. Attorney General Barr said it like this. He said, "The Constitution is not suspended in time of crisis." He's so right. Those that would defy the Constitution and defy the President of the United States are hurting this country. We stand for the Constitution. We stand for religious liberty. Church is essential. Thank you so much. And at this time, I think we'll take some questions. Boy, I'm wound up and I'm passionate, and I hope you don't mind that. We'd like to be able to address your questions either to the assemblymen or to myself. I can answer questions for here. I'm the local pastor here. Pastor Young represents a number of Baptist churches across the state. So are there any questions by our media or those that are here today? What's that? We will be open on Sunday at 50% capacity. What we did in the beginning was, of course, the online and drive-in services. And then we went to 25% capacity, really just we invited our staff and their families. And then as things progressed and things went well, this Sunday we met with 50% capacity. And that's what I would expect again. We have just in our auditorium alone, I can seat 400 is our capacity. We'll not exceed half that capacity. We had 161 here last week, this past Sunday, and it was wonderful. Everyone was socially distant. We gave masks out to those that needed them. All of our ushers and all of our workers had masks and gloves. We didn't pass the offering plate. We had the doors open, so no one had to touch the doors. Every time anyone would use the bathroom, only our one family unit was allowed at a time, and then we would sanitize after every use. So that's what we're doing. Any other questions? Yeah, that's a good point. I think that we must never allow this to happen again. And that's why we have this today. Any other questions? I'm sorry, right here. This looks like support in numbers. I can't speak for every church, and maybe Pastor Young can take this question, but I do know dozens of churches that never shut down. I know churches across the state that opened yesterday or Sunday, and some that opened the week before. I know other churches that are opening next week and the week after that. Some are doing repairs. Some feel that, you know, that they're just waiting for whenever they feel the time is right. But Pastor Young, you want to speak to that?
God plus one person is a majority in any area.
Amen.
The Lord is not a democracy, he's a theocracy. Amen. He rules. We believe him. And whether one shows or two gather, he's in the midst. And so numbers are not the issue to us. We're not looking to gather other than to demonstrate by these men that represent thousands of people across our state. And there are many yet beyond the regions they came from. And they do represent a lot of people, but that's not why they're here. They're here because they're God's children.
Yes, sir. I can answer that question. Sounds like they're answering for me, but I don't feel it's my obligation to be a reporter for any government agency, any government agency. Any other questions? Well, they were wrong on the first one. We care for our people. So I get these questions all the time. Preacher, are we having service on Wednesday? Are we doing this or whatever? I've not made any blanket statements because I don't know what the future is. Like Pastor Young said, during a snowstorm, we close. But it just depends on what's going on. Sure.
The second wave is based on what has happened historically. But we have never had this happen. What's going to happen a month from now, 6 months from now? I think a lot personally. In my car, I've got hand sanitizer, masks, Clorox wipes, and gloves. I think a lot of people going forward are just naturally going to have something like that on them. Okay, they're going to social distance. We've learned that, right? They're gonna use hand sanitizer more. And how does the common flu spread? Mostly by contact. Well, we're alleviating that. So I think all those things, I could be wrong, but personally and from what I've read, that second wave is going to be as false as what the first wave they said was going to happen. So don't believe it.
All right, I don't want to hold everyone all day. If there's any other questions, we'll try to answer, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you for coming today. Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.